Amen. Glory to God. Welcome, everyone, to Arise Company, where we help people find life, enjoy life, and win in life. Glory to God. We've been on a series called Accessing the Good Life. Accessing the Good Life. And so we read three theme or key scriptures. Romans chapter 5, verse 2 says, "Through whom also we have access by faith into his grace, in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Ephesians 2, 18 says, "For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." And Ephesians 3, 12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith through in him." So it's important that we understand that the good life is available. What we need to, according to these scriptures, we need to access it. And so last week we talked about a couple things. Last week we talked about the password. A lot of times we need passwords to access our stuff, right? Whatever it might be, our bank accounts, our emails, our phone messages, whatever it might be, there's this password, this access code that we need to have. And so we've been talking about that. We talked about that last week, the password. And we found out that the password is in him. In him. Our password is in him or in Christ. And it's very important that we understand who we are in Christ. We need to understand who we are in us. We also need to have, it's important that we have a good self-image of ourselves, but it's also important that we understand that we are not all that. We're not our answer. Amen? It's in Christ. Who are we in Christ? He's our answer. He's our source. He is our life. And so, we talked about the good life. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10 in the Amplified Classic says this, "For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live." So God has already thought the thoughts and planned the plans. He's already gone before us. He's already predestined or planned beforehand. He's already prepared ahead of time a good life for us. Amen? And he wants to walk in. He's prepared paths, a road, a way for us to go. And as we walk on this path and walk in this way and we travel on this road that he has planned and prepared for us, as we walk on this path, he said that in this path we get to walk or we get to live the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us. He is not opposed to us enjoying life. He's not opposed to us enjoying the good life. And a lot of people don't know what the good life is, or they might have a very limited view. And so we're going to talk about that today. We're going to talk about what is good. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11. Let's go to Jeremiah 29, 11. Jeremiah 29, 11. I'm actually going to quote it probably from four or five different translations. But I'll read it first of all in New King James. Jeremiah 29, 11. And then I will quote. Jeremiah 29, verse 11 says this, "For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." A number of different translations, and this is how I say it regularly, combining a number of translations. But he said, God said, "Listen, I've already thought the thoughts and planned the plans for you. And my thoughts and my plans for you, I know them." He's not just coming up with them. He says, "I know them. And my thoughts and my plans for you are for your peace, for your welfare, for your prosperity, for your success. Not of evil or of harm, but to give you an expected end and a hopeful future." So God's thoughts are for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success. That's God's thoughts for us. If we're not experiencing that, it's it's not God's fault. Because a lot of times people will say, well, you never know what God is going to do. You never know what God's thinking. You never know what God... And it's like, well, yeah, of course we do. But when people say that, they're saying that the thing that is not good, that you just never know what God's going to do. You just never know. You just never, well, you know, maybe this is God. It must be God because I'm experiencing it. Well, no, not everything we experience is of God, is God. Right? There's a devil. And just as God wants to work all things together for our good, there's a devil who wants to work all things for our bad. So not just everything that happens is God. So his thoughts for us are for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success, not of evil or of harm. His thoughts and plans for us are not for evil or of harm. Every one of his thoughts and plans for us are for good. Amen? He's working all things together for our good because we love him and called according to his purpose. These are his thoughts. These are his plans. He's planned and thought paths. What? So we can live the good life. Amen? So now here, the word peace, Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace. The word peace is the Hebrew word shalom. And the Hebrew word shalom can be translated a number of different ways, and it's all amazing. So let me just tell you what the word shalom means or how other words it can be translated as. The word shalom can be translated safety, happy, well, welfare, or faring well, healthy, prosperity, peace, favor, prosperous, rest, wholeness, and good health. One more time. Shalom, peace. Safety, happy, well, welfare, or faring well, healthy, prosperity, peace, favor, prosperous, rest, wholeness, and good health. There is nothing bad in that list. That's a good list. And this is his thoughts for us. These are his plans for us. He's already thought the thoughts and planned the plans. For our safety, for our happiness, for our welfare, our health, our prosperity, our peace, our favor, being prosperous, resting, wholeness, and good health. It's his thoughts and his plans. Let's go to John chapter 10, verse 10. John 10:10. John 10, verse 10. Says this, Jesus speaking, he says the thief, talking about the devil, the thief comes to, he does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. This is the only thing the devil can do. This is his DNA, this is his mode of operation, this is his MO, this is when he shows up and then leaves, these are his fingerprints that he leaves all over. The devil's fingerprints. His DNA is stealing, killing, destroying. That's all there is. That's all he does. That's all he knows to do. But Jesus said, I've come. So the thief has come. The devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy. So if we see if there's anything in our lives that's stealing, killing, and destroying, it's the work of the devil. But Jesus said, listen, I've come. I have come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. The Greek word more abundantly can also be translated superabundantly, excessively, beyond measure, superior in quality. Hallelujah. That's a good life. That's an abundant life. That is superabundant. Excessive. People say that's just excessive. Well, I guess on the one hand, excessive, if it's not good, is not good. But excessive good is good. Right? The word excessive is not a negative word. God is the God who is more than enough. He's not just enough. He's more than enough. And everything he does is more than enough. excessive, beyond measure, superior in quality. In other words, our lives ought to be better, much better. The quality of our lives ought to be better than those that we know and those who are our neighbors who don't know God, who are not in Christ, that don't know the password. So our lives just ought to be getting better and better and better and better. Amen? We don't arrive in one day. It's called the journey. It's the good life. There's this path. He says, I've got a path for your peace. A path. The good life. So as we walk in it, it just gets better and better and better. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us this way. He says, God says, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter until the noonday sun. Amen? It just gets better and better. Better and better. Glory to God. So we can rejoice about that. The abundant life, the good life. Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy chapter 8. I want to just quickly read this. Deuteronomy 8, verse 7. Moses speaking, and he's talking about God and talking about what God has done for them. He says, for the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks of water, of fountains, of springs that flow out of valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and figs and trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey, a land in which you will eat without scarcity, in which you will lack nothing, verse 10. And when you have eaten and are full, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Verse 12, and is it be important, we need to understand, don't forget that when you are eaten, when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses, plural, and dwell in them, and your herds are multiplied, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and everything you have is multiplied, don't forget who gave it to you. Verse 18, remember, that's the Lord your God who's given you the power to get wealth. And so we see verse 7 says, listen, the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land. And so this represents what Jesus has done for us. The Lord was bringing the children of Israel into a good land. And what has Jesus done for us? He says, I've come that you might have life and have it more abundantly. He has given us a good life. He was bringing them into a good land, but Jesus has given us a good life. Amen? Say good life. Good life. His plan for us is a good life. In Christ, we have been given a good life. Hallelujah. And so it's this process of we're walking in these paths, living the good life. It just gets better and better. The more light we get, all of a sudden we're walking in more and more. It just gets better and better and gooder. Amen? Hallelujah. So, the Lord our God has brought us into and has given us the good life. So, what is the good life? I want to spend the rest of the service talking about. We're going to go through a whole pile of scriptures. Matter of fact, if I spend 1 minute on each scripture, there's probably going to be 40 minutes from now. So, we're going to move quickly. All right? Acts chapter 10, verse 38. What is the good life? What's the good life? We ought to just know, what does the scripture say is the good life? Acts 10, verse 38 says this, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil because God was with him. He went about doing what? Good. And healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So one of the things that we can see here is Jesus went about doing good, and one of the good things, not the only good thing he did, but one of the good things is healing. He went about doing good and healing. Good and healing. Say good and healing. Good and healing. Healing is good. All right? Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. Proverbs 12 and verse 14 says this. And then we're going to go to Genesis chapter 1. So we see here Proverbs 12, verse 14. Says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his mouth, and the recompense of a man's hands will be rendered to him. We will be satisfied with good by the fruit of our mouth. Good. The word good, he satisfies us with good. The word good here is the Hebrew word tob. The word good means good in the widest sense. Good. Good. Really good. Mega good. Amazing good. Good. Good in the widest sense. It means people, good people, and good things. It means best. When the Bible says the willing and obedient shall eat the good of the land, it's the word tob, best. We ought to enjoy, the willing and obedient shall enjoy the best of the best, the good of the land, the best. Well, so good in the widest sense, good people, good things, best. Well, beautiful, favor, fine, loving, kind. See, good people are loving, good people are kind, right? Precious. Good things are precious. Good things are precious. They're valuable. Prosperity. See, we cannot separate shalom from prosperity. Prosperity is good, because prosperity is part of shalom. Tob. Prosperity is part of tob. Good. Prosperity is good. There's some people that want us to not want that think prosperity is bad. Wealth. It includes prosperity and wealth. Prosperity and wealth are not bad. Prosperity and wealth are good. Welfare, or to fare well, and to be well-favored. Tob. The Hebrew word tob means translated good, and it can be translated all these other ways. In the Hebrew, the word glory is from the Hebrew word kabod. Kabod is translated glory, but it's not just translated glory. It also can be translated heavy with everything good. The glory of God. The goodness of God. In manifestation and demonstration, heavy with everything good. So in the glory of God, is everything good. Heavy with everything good. Splendor, riches, wealth, abundance, and honor. Good. These Hebrew words, it literally is letting us know. The glory of God. Glory. Heavy with everything good. Splendor. His splendor. Riches, wealth, abundance, and honor. So, let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Right, Genesis chapter 1. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but remember, we see here that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form, or became without form, is the Hebrew word, and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering or moving over the face of the water, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. Light be, and light was. And God saw the light, that it was good, and he divided the light from the darkness, and God called the light day and the darkness night. So evening and morning came. And so as we go on, and God said this, and it was good. And God saw this, said this, and it was good. And God said this, and it was good. And God said this, and it was good. And God said this, and it was good. So, the light was good. Creation was good. The grass was good. The food was good. The day and night was good. The animals were good. And then verse 31, and God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. It was good. Good. God created it good. When the devil showed up, he messed things up. When Adam sinned, when Adam committed high treason, he opened the door and things got messed up. But I want you to know and remember that what God does is good. Amen? What he has done and what he's doing in our lives is good. Genesis chapter 2, verse 12. Genesis 2, verse 12. Says, and the gold of that land is good. See, the Lord planted in the garden, verse 8, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden. And there he put the man whom he had formed. And then over the process of time, we see verse 10, it says, "Now a river went out from Eden to water the garden, and from there it parted in, and it became four river heads." The name of the first is Pishon. It's the one which skirts the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold, and the gold of that land is good. Gold is good. God said so, right? God said so. Gold is good. Chapter 2, verse 18. Chapter 2, verse 18. "And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him," or like him. So it wasn't good that Adam was just alone. So God decided he was going to make a wife for him. So wives are good. And ladies, then we could also say husbands are good. It would be the same idea, okay? They're good. They're good. Marriage, so marriage is good. Marriage is good. Chapter 25, Genesis 25, verse 8. Genesis 25 and verse 8 says this. "And Abraham breathed his last and died in a good old age, an old man and full of years, and was gathered to his people." Verse 7 says he lived to be 175 years. So what do we see here? He lived a good old age. In other words, old age is good. Old age and long life is good. Amen? It's good. What's the scripture telling us? The scripture is telling us old age and long life is good. Chapter 41. Chapter 41. You might just want to write these down, or you can just continue to flip through with me. Chapter 41, verse 37. 41:37 says this. "So the advice was good." So this is Joseph. He was speaking to Pharaoh. "And the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Inasmuch as God has shown you all these things, there is no one as discerning and wise as you, and you shall be over my house and over my people, and you shall rule according to your word.'" So wise advice is good. Amen. "And a word in season is good." Wise advice and a word in season is good. Chapter 45, verse 23. 45:23 says this. "And he sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with good things of Egypt, and 10 female donkeys loaded with grain, bread, and food for his father and for the journey. And so he sent his brothers away, and they departed. And he said to them, 'See that you do not become troubled along the way.'" So this is now Joseph, and Pharaoh has sent this stuff so Joseph could go send his brothers away to bring his dad and the rest of his family back to Egypt, where there is this food and this provision. And we see here, according to the scripture, he sent his father away. He sent to his father these things, 10 donkeys loaded with good things and loaded with grain. And so what can we see? The good things. Things are good. Matter of fact, one of the way the word tov is translated is plural, goods. Right? Goods and services. What is that? What are goods and services? That means good stuff. Stuff. Things are good. And here are just some of the things. The donkeys were loaded full of goods. They're just loaded full. Loaded with good things of Egypt. And then the female donkeys were loaded with grain, with bread and food. And so all this stuff is good. Food and grain, and it's good. Good. Things are good. Goods, 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 goods. Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3 and verse 8. Exodus 3. We're going to find out what's the good life. What's the good life? Well, the good life is a good marriage. The good life is gold. The good life is living long, right, and prospering. Good is having wisdom and a word in season. What's good? Goods are goods. Stuff. Good. The good life. This is what it looks like. Exodus chapter 3, verse 8 says this. "So I have come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians." This is God speaking to Moses out of the bush. and to bring them up from the land to a good and large land, to a land flowing with milk and honey, to the place of the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Amorites and the Perizzites and the Hivites and the Jebusites. So land is good. Large land is good. Provision is good. That's what we can see from this portion of Scripture right here. God said, listen, I'm bringing them into a good land, a large land. Amen. Exodus chapter 18. Exodus chapter 18. You may want to watch this service a few more times and just write these things down and get them on the inside. Hallelujah. Exodus 18, verse 9 says this, "Then Jethro rejoiced for all the good which the Lord had done for Israel, whom he had delivered out of the hand of the Egyptians." Hallelujah. Deliverance is good. Amen. Deliverance is good. Bondage is not good, but deliverance is good. Freedom is good. Amen. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 22, verse 14. Says, and if a man borrows anything from his neighbor and it becomes injured or dies, the owner of it and the owner of it is not there, not being with it, he shall surely make it good. So what do we see here? Doing what's right is good. Integrity is good. Repaying is good. Amen. If we're borrowing someone and it breaks or it dies or and you know it's our fault. The owner is not around. The owner didn't break it while we were using it together, but we borrowed it and it broke or whatever. What's good? Good is to say, I broke it. I'll buy you a new one. I'll fix it. It'll be in better shape than when I borrowed it. Amen. This integrity. Not blaming it. Well, you know, you gave me a piece of junk. You lent me a piece of junk. It's your fault. No. Taking personal responsibility, being a person, a man, a woman of integrity, doing what's right and repaying is good. Hallelujah. That's being men and women of character, good character. Hallelujah. So, Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23. Numbers 23, verse 19. It says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make it good? I could say this way, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent, but what he said he'll do, he'll do. That's what's good. Has he spoken and will he not make it good? In other words, what does that mean? Keeping our word is good. Amen. Keeping our word is good. If we make a promise, we'll be there at 3, then we'll be there at 3. We don't show up at 3:30 and go, you know what? It's just it's not important. No. We keep our word. We keep our word. And if we're not able to make it, then we need to touch base and let them know, hey, you know what? There is something slowing me down here. There's something in my way. I'd be there at 3, but I mean, there's some obstacles. Something's going on, so I'm going to be a little bit late. We let them know. That's good. Amen. People of our word. People of our word. Keeping our word is good. Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy chapter 6. And verse 11. God said, listen, I'm bringing you into this good land. Verse 10 says, to give you large and beautiful cities, which you did not build. Verse 11, houses full of all good things, which you did not fill. Hewn out wells, which you did not dig. Vineyards and olive trees, which you did not plant when you have eaten and are full. So what do we see here? Houses full of good things. That's good. Full of good things. Good things. Amen? God wants our houses to be full of good things. And living in large and beautiful houses in large and beautiful cities or towns, we're going to live in the country, that's fine. God says, listen, what's good? Have our house filled with goods, full of good things, full of good things. full of good things. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. Deuteronomy 28 and verse 12. Says, the Lord God will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give the rain to your land in its season, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow. Deuteronomy 28, verse 12. His good treasure. Good treasure. His good treasure does what? His good treasure gives rain. Now, rain is also a type of just increase. Amen? You know, if you have a farm, rain is good. If you got a garden, rain is good. But what if you have a business? What if you're doing something? Okay, so the rain just represents increase. I will give. The Lord will open for you the good treasures to do what? To give increase. To give us increase. Increase. Blessing. And blessing, so much blessing that we don't have to borrow, but we can lend or we can invest. See, borrowing is not wrong. Some people think borrowing is wrong, and they teach that borrowing is wrong, but borrowing is not wrong. Why? Because if borrowing was wrong, then lending would be wrong. Right? I mean, why would borrowing be a sin when God has said, I want you to lend? Because then we'd be causing someone to sin. So borrowing is not a sin, because lending is not a sin. He's just saying, listen, I want you to have so much that you don't have to borrow. You don't have to borrow. And you can lend. You can invest. You know, when you invest, you're lending your money to the bank. You're lending your money to an organization. You know, so lending also would include investing. So what's good? What's good? What do we see here? What's good? His good treasure gives us rain. And that rain in our lives would represent increase. Increase, blessing, and so much that we don't have to borrow, but we can lend and invest. Now, let's go to Joshua chapter 1, so just a couple pages over, but hold your finger here and let's quickly go to 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. 1 Thessalonians 5. Keep your finger in Joshua chapter 1, but 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 15 says this. See that no one render evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourself and for all, or others. Do what? Don't render evil for evil to anyone, but do what? Pursue what's good. Pursue what's good, both for you, your good, and the good of others. In the business, we call that win-win. Right? Win-win. It's not enough just for me to win and you to lose. That would not be win-win. That would not be me pursuing good for me and for others. So it's not just for us to win. We also need to pursue good so the others can win also. A win-win situation. A win-win situation. Right? So it's not just thinking about us. See, if we're just thinking about us, that's called selfishness. But if we're thinking about us and others, it's called good. Pursue good for yourself and for all, for others. It's a win-win. Win-win. Hallelujah. So, pursue what is good. Pursue what is good. So now we're gonna start looking at some stuff that that is not just what is the good life, but all of a sudden we're gonna start talking about stuff now that we can pursue. Pursue what's good. Okay, so what does that mean? If we don't want to know what the scripture says, we might have just a very small idea. What am I supposed to, I can only pursue this much? Because a lot of people already know. We might know people. You know, you talk to religious people, and you know, if you're trying to pursue prosperity and pursue wealth, or you pursue health, Religious people can get very upset with you. Think you're selfish and greedy. But we've already found out that prosperity is good. Health is good. Right? So let's find out if we're supposed to pursue good, let's expand our idea and our concept of good. Because we can only pursue and enjoy what we can actually see and understand. If we only have this much of an idea of good, that's all we will ever be able to enjoy, if we even get that far. But as we begin to expand our belief, expand our understanding of what is good based on the Word of God, we can now expand our enjoyment of that which is good. Amen? Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. So God said, my people perish because of a lack of knowledge. So if our knowledge is only this much, we can only enjoy this much. My people perish for a lack of knowledge. In other words, we will perish in every other area apart from this area if this is just how much knowledge we have of what is God's plan for us. So what do we need to do? We need to expand our understanding of what is good so we don't perish. I mean, decades ago, when we went to a denominational church, we did not know that healing was good. We didn't even know healing was part of the redemption. We didn't even know that Jesus bought and purchased healing and health for us. So you just act like the rest of the world, and you just kind of, you know what? Oh, you know, they're getting sick. I guess we're getting sick. I guess it's sick season. Let's just all get sick, and you know, hopefully we get better in a couple of weeks, and we're ready to move on till we get to the next sick season. That was our expectation. Why? My people are perishing because of lack of knowledge. We did not know. But when we found out by the stripes of Jesus, we were healed. That he bore our sicknesses and carried our diseases, and by his stripes we're healed. And he sent his word and healed us all of a sudden. It changed our life forever. Because now our faith, our belief, and our understanding of who we are in Christ, remember that's our password, we need to understand who we are in Christ in order to enjoy that. If we don't know that, we cannot enjoy that. We must know. So, what are we to pursue? Pursue what is good. Pursue what's good. Okay, so let's find out what's good. Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. We must continually be speaking the word of God. Don't let it depart from our mouth. In other words, don't allow it to leave your mouth and not come back. Don't let it move away. In other words, what? Keep the word in your mouth. Keep the word coming out of your mouth. Keep speaking the word. Don't let it depart from your mouth to where it's no longer is coming out of your mouth. Keep speaking the word. Meditate in it day and night. In other words, think about God, the promises of God. Think about the word of God. Think about what God said. Think about his way, his will, his way of doing things. Think about his word. Meditate on it. That's just what it means. Meditate, chew on, roll over in your mind. Just think about it. We're so used to worrying, we're thinking about the wrong thing, rolling the wrong thing around in our mind. God said, listen, what I want you to do is I want you to meditate the word of God. I want you to think about my promises. Think about my word. Think about my right way of doing things. Meditate on it. Why? It'll produce this. You will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. So what are we supposed to pursue? We can pursue good success. Success is good. We can pursue success. Pursue it. Not just your success, but how can we help others succeed? Right? Not just good for you. Good for you and others. That's one of the reasons why God sent us here. Why? To help you find life, enjoy life, and win in life. So we're here because we're going to enjoy life here. We're excited about moving here. But it's not just about us. If it was just about us, that would be selfish. But God has sent us here. Why? To help you find life, enjoy life, and win in life. So there is a win-win. We're going to enjoy, and he sent us here to help you enjoy. as pastors and teachers, we're able to pass things on. We're able to share stuff, revelation, the Word of God. So you can grab hold of it, take hold of it, revelation knowledge, so we can all what? We can all increase. Walking the good life, which He's prearranged and made ready for us. Walking this path, your path that He has for you. A good life, walking, living, enjoying. Amen? Woohoo! Glory to God. So, Joshua 1:9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Be what? Be strong and of good courage. Good courage. Courage is good. So what can we do? We can pursue courage. Pursue. We're not born with courage. It's something we need to pursue. Pursue being courageous. Pursue courage. Hallelujah, because courage is good. Psalm 16. Psalm 16, verse 6. Psalm 16, verse 6. What else can we pursue? Psalm 16 and verse 6 says this. The lions have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance. An inheritance is good. Matter of fact, Scripture tells us that a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Hallelujah. So there's more to it. It's not just our inheritance, it's our inheritance for others. Our kids and our grandkids. There's this growth, there's this increase. God's got more for us. Amen? Say, so I don't even have enough for myself. Hey, that's where we find ourselves. If that's where you find yourself, that's where you are. That's not where we have to stay. Amen? We're not stuck. Say, I'm not stuck. Amen. I'm not stuck. Glory to God. That's why God is saying, listen, pursue. And He's talking to us, and that's my desire for us today is to find out what's good so we can pursue it. If we don't know what's good, we can't pursue it. And if we don't pursue it, we can never get it. And then all we'll do is complain. God's not interested in us complaining. He's saying, listen, I've got a good path. Well, what does that mean? That's what we're going through. So we know where we're going. We might find ourselves where we find ourselves. We are where we are, but that's not where we have to stay. Not when we find out that He has good for us, that He's working all things together for our good. Amen? What's good? What's good? What's the world's opinion of good? What's the religious people's opinion of good? It makes no difference. What does God say is good? That's what's important. Let's find out what God says is good, and let's pursue that. I don't care if people don't like it or not. God likes it. God calls it good, so let's pursue it. Amen? So, chapter 16, verse 16, an inheritance is good. Chapter 34, Psalm 34, verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. We want to be a rebel? Let's be a rebel against the devil. Let's be a rebel against the world, the world's system, its ideas. Amen? Let's not rebel against God. Let's rebel against everything else. Hallelujah. Go for God. Go for God. Hallelujah. We pursue Him. We pursue what's good. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." The Lord is good. Amen? The Lord is good. We can pursue Him. Pursue Him because He's good. Pursue Him because He's good. He's not going to let us down. He's never going to fail us. Right? He's not leading us into harm. No, His plans and His thoughts for us are for our peace, for our welfare, for our prosperity, for our success, not of evil or of harm, but to give us an expected end and a hopeful future. The Lord is good. His thoughts and plans for us are good, so let's pursue Him. Let's pursue Him and pursue what He's got for us. We'll never be disappointed. We'll never be discouraged. We'll never be dismayed. We'll never be bummed out. Because He's good. Pursue Him. Pursue Him because He's good. The Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. So we mess up. Yeah, well, apologize. Because his mercy is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Amen? Hallelujah. The Lord is good. Psalm 69. Psalm 69, verse 16. Psalm 69, verse 16 says this, "Hear me, O Lord, for your loving kindness is good. Turn to me according to the multitude of your tender mercies." Loving kindness is good. He's good. His loving kindness is good. And so we're not only pursuing loving kindness because it's in him and it's good, but we're pursuing loving kindness, why? Towards others. So we're showing others loving kindness. We're pursuing loving kindness, not so we can just receive loving kindness, but we're pursuing loving kindness so we can show it to others. Pursuing loving kindness is good. Glory to God. Psalm 92, verse 1. Psalm 92, verse 1. Psalm 92, verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High." It's good to praise him. It's good to praise him. It's good to thank him. Amen? It's good. Praising him is good. Thanking him is good. Being a thankful person is good. Being able to say thanks to others is good. Hallelujah. Praising him is good. Psalm 103. Psalm 103, verse 5. Psalm 103, verse 5. See, these are things that we're supposed to pursue. "Who satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." Hallelujah. He satisfies us. He satisfies us with good. Good things. So that our youth is renewed like the eagles. So what do we see here? What do we see here? Our youth being renewed is good. Healthy and strong, youthfully renewed is good. It's good. Hallelujah. He said, long life. Long life, we already found out that. Long life is good. Long life is good, but we ought to be long life and youthfully renewed all at the same time. Amen? Both sides of the coin. Amen? Long life and youthfully renewed. Glory to God. It's good. It's good. Pursue it. Pursue it. Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1 says this, "Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren or family to dwell together in unity." Hallelujah. Unity is good. Unity is good. Unity is good. Unity is something that's by the Spirit. You know, in the natural, we can set some things up so there seems to be peace and agreement. You know, there's just some family members you don't hang around with. Why? Because there isn't unity. Right? It just doesn't work. So what? You just don't. You choose peace or you choose, you know, unrest and strife and division. Well, some people you just don't want to hang around with. Why? Because they create strife and division. So it's just very simple. Why? We choose peace. We choose peace. But and see, in the church, the body of Christ, there's this idea that we all just need to, you know, we need to stir up and create some unity. Let's just do a bunch of stuff together and create unity. That doesn't create unity. Unity is something that's done by the Spirit. And I learned this long time ago. If I'm doing what God's called me to do, and you're doing what God's called you to do, and you're doing what God's called you to do, and so we can get together and we can love one another. Love and unity are two different things. We're commanded to love one another. But unity is something that happens by the Spirit. And every part of the body, see, people have this idea that we all need to be doing the same thing. But in order to create unity, well, you need to act like me. Well, unity, you need to act like me. Well, you need to act like me. No, that's not unity. Because the Apostle Paul said this, by the Spirit of God, he said, the body is like a body. It's like a body. In other words, the foot has something to do. The hand has something to do. The eyes have something to do. The ears have something to do. The elbow has something to do. The heart has something to do. The head has something to do. All different. We can't just say I'm all an eye. Well, if I'm not an eye, I'm not worth it. I'm just not. No. Unity is every part doing its part. And if we all do our part, if we all do what we're assigned to do, that's going to create unity. If my feet want to go this way, and my shoulders want to go that way, that's not going to create unity, and it will crash. And if you're skiing, you'll crash and you'll fall down. If you're riding your bike and you're pedaling this way and you're looking that way, you can wipe out. That's not unity. The whole body just needs to do its part. That's called unity. Every part needs to do its part. The eyes look this way, the ears are listening here, the hands are here, the feet are doing their thing, right? Both feet don't do the same. One foot goes down and the other foot goes up. It's not the same. It's different when you're pedaling, right? So unity. Unity is good, but let's not be confused about what unity is. Unity isn't conformity. Proverbs 17:22 says, a merry heart does good like medicine. Hallelujah. A merry heart. A merry heart is good. A merry heart is good. Amen? Proverbs 18:22 says this. He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. A wife is good. We already saw marriage is good. A wife is good. And a husband is good. Good. Amen? Good. Matthew chapter 5. Okay, we got to keep moving here. Matthew 5 verse 16 says this. Let your light so shine before men, why? People, that they may see your good works and glorify God. Your works that glorify God are good. Good works are good. Good works glorify God. Amen. We pursue good works. We pursue good works because it brings glory to God. Matthew 25, verse 21. We see this. And the Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Faithfulness is good. Faithfulness is good. All right, Mark chapter 3, verse 4 says this. And he said to them, Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do evil, to save life or to kill? And they kept silent. So what do we see here? Jesus saying, listen, saving life is good. Pursue helping others. Pursue saving lives. Saving life is good. Acts chapter 11, verse 24 says this. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. Talking about Barnabas. So, being full of the Holy Spirit and faith is good. So we should be pursuing being filled with the Holy Spirit. We should be pursuing being full of faith. Amen? Because it's good. 1 Corinthians 5:6. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Says, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. Apparently this is not the one. 1 Corinthians 5:6. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? So what's good then? He's given us the other side of the coin. What's not good? So what is good? Humility, repentance, and submission are good. Humility, repentance, and submission are good. Galatians 4:18 says this. But it is good to be zealous in a good thing always, and not only when I am present with you. So, to be zealous in good things with a pure heart and motives, not just to impress somebody, but to be zealous or passionate about good things with a pure heart and pure motives is a good thing. 1 Timothy chapter 3. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to make it. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 says, this is a faithful saying. If a man desires a position of bishop or overseer or pastor, he desires a good work. So the position of bishop and pastor is good. Chapter 3, verse 13. For those who have served well as deacons, that's helps ministry, obtain for themselves a good standing and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. So serving well in helps ministry is good. So this is what we can pursue. Serving well and helps ministry is good. Chapter 6, verse 18. Chapter 6, verse 18 says, let them do good, let them be rich in good works, and ready to give or distribute, willing to share or communicate. In other words, generosity is good. Generosity is good. Amen? 2 Timothy 2, 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3 says this. You therefore must endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Endurance is good. Under pressure, endurance is good. We can pursue endurance. Amen? Hebrews 6, verse 5. Hebrews 6, verse 5 says this, and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Tasted the good word of God and the powers of the age to come. Talking about the word of God is good. Revelation knowledge of the Word of God is good, and the power of the Holy Spirit is good. We can pursue these things, pursue the Word, pursue revelation knowledge of the Word of God, pursue the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Pursue good. These things are good. Last one, 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter 4, verse 10 says, let each one, as each one has received a gift, minister or serve it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. As good stewards. In other words, to serve others with our God-given gifts is good. To serve others. Not just to promote ourselves, but to serve others. To serve others with our gift is good. Serve others with our gifts. Hallelujah.